Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
And God's the one who's done all the deciding. I will admit that there are passages that seem to say that. But there are other passages, and this is the thing. You can't throw out the ones that don't fit with it. You've got to recognize that, wait, there's a tension here. There's an unresolvable thing here to some degree because of our inability to comprehend some of these things. So instead, we have to hold certain truths in tension.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Romans. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Romans chapter 9, verses 14 through 33, in a message titled, The Sovereignty of God and the Free Will of Man. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
And so he rehearses their entire history to them. And then at the end of that, he says to them, you stiff-necked, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did. So again, Stephen is saying, look, the problem is on your side. You're resisting. Again, that's the equivalent of you're not willing. Paul, in writing to Timothy, 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4, he spoke of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved. God desires all men to be saved, Paul said. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And then in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, Peter said, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God desires everyone to be saved. He's not willing that anyone should perish. And then in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, the final call there, whosoever wills, let him take the water of life freely. Whoever wants the water of life, whoever wants the water of life, let him take the water of life freely. So you see, when verse 16 of chapter 9 says, it's not of him who wills nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy, it cannot be referring to personal individual salvation, because if it were, it would be contradicting these other clear passages that tell us that the will is involved, that the human will is involved in salvation. So that means that we've got to come up with another understanding of verse 16. What is he talking about here? And again, if we keep it in the proper context, if we remember, wait, Paul's not talking here about personal salvation. He already talked about that. Oh, no, he's talking about Israel. He's talking about them collectively. He's talking about them nationally. So if we keep that in mind, then we will understand the verse, I think, more correctly, because we're understanding it in the context that the apostle intended it. Now, let me say a few more things about this unconditional election idea. Now, some would say in response to everything that I've just said and in the verses that I've just read, some would say that those who desire or those who are willing, either way, same thing, they are so because God has put it into their hearts. So again, it's not their will, it's God's put the will into their hearts. But then we have to ask the question, why hasn't God put that same desire in everyone's heart, since we already know that he desires all men to be saved and is not willing that any should perish? So if that's the case, that the person who believes only believes because God puts the will in their heart, and God's already told us that he wants everyone to believe, so why doesn't he just put the will in everybody's heart? So you see, it creates a problem with Scripture. This is not a philosophical problem. This is not even a theological problem in the sense of looking at theological theories and things. It's a scriptural problem. It contradicts what the Scriptures say. Now, some Calvinists, and remember when I say this, I'm not anti-Calvinist, even though I might sound like it right now because I'm passionate about this, but I'm not. I really am not. Some Calvinists have gone so far. This is stuff we just have to address. I'm not trying to pick a fight with anybody. It's just stuff that we have to address. So some Calvinists have gone so far as to say, this is where it gets, you see, to me, it becomes problematic. Some have gone so far as to say that God actually has two different wills. So when it says plainly, God is not willing that any should perish, or that God desires or wills all men to be saved, they say, well, you know, actually God has two different wills. Yes, on one level, he's desiring all to be saved, but he has a deeper will where he's already determined who's going to be saved. And my response to that is, really? Come on. You know, give me a break. Where do you find that in the scripture? But see, here's the thing. You don't find it in the scripture. This is a desperate effort to hold on to a theological position despite the fact that the scriptures say something otherwise. And this is the problems with theologies. Now, I like theology. I read theologies. I think there's some fantastic systematic theologies. And I generally read Calvinistic theologies. I like them. A lot of what they say. But the problem is this. You see, a theology is, what it is it's trying to put, in a sense, you're trying to put God into this particular system that you develop. And inevitably, in every systematic theology, God doesn't totally fit in. So the mistaken thing to do is then try to trim off some biblical texts that don't seem to fit. That's not the right approach. The better approach is adjust your theology. Realize that, wait a second, we missed this here, or we don't understand this, or we can't make a final judgment on it here. So this is the problem with the Calvinistic position. You have to dismiss, downplay, ignore, or even worse, come up with an untenable interpretation of Scripture to support the view. Now, what I didn't mention previously is the alternate theology to Calvinism, in mostly everybody's mind who understands any of this stuff, is Arminianism. So the Calvinist believes that if you're not a Calvinist, you're an Arminian. And the Arminian believes if you're not an Arminian, you're a Calvinist. And then there are these hybrids called like Calminians and, you know, things like that. But I just want to say this for the record. We're not arguing Arminianism here. And I don't like to be labeled that way. You know, inevitably what they will do is say, well, you're just an Arminian. No, I'm not. Because I disagree with Arminius's views on certain things as well. Remember, these guys lived back in the 1500s, 1500 to 1600s. The gospel was around a lot longer than that. So I'm not going to be pigeonholed or, you know, put into this. You've got to be a Calvinist or you've got to be an Arminian. No, I'm going back to the biblical text. And that's our objective. That's what we want to do. We are not necessarily Arminian. We are trying to simply stay as true to Scripture as we can. And as I've shown you, we've got Scripture that says you got to exercise your will. There is human will involved in salvation. Now, granted, some of these things are difficult to comprehend. You know, I have taught Romans a minimum of 15 times. And I still get confused when I'm reading through this. I'm like, wait, I remember that one time I taught it and it was so clear. Lord, help, bring that stuff back. But this stuff is, it's complex. And we're in good company because Peter thought the same thing. Peter said, you know, Paul in his epistles, he's written some things that are really hard to understand. So I'm glad we're in Peter's company at least. You know, he had similar kinds of struggles. So some of these things are difficult to comprehend, but we can't solve them by just getting rid of or wrongly interpreting passages that don't fit into our particular theological understanding. And this is, I think, what happens, and it happens on both sides. It doesn't just happen on the one side.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you that you can connect with Pastor Brian anytime through all forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com, where you can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now, let's continue with today's message.
You know, the one person says to the Calvinist, well, wait a second, you're overlooking this scripture and that scripture and the other scripture. And it's true, they are. But they come back and say, yeah, but you're overlooking this scripture and that scripture and this other scripture as well. And quite often that is the case as well. So we have to recognize that some of these issues are beyond our ability to totally figure out. That's the reality. Some of it is just, it's just a bit beyond us. We can't totally figure it out. So we hold certain truths in tension. Now, there are some passages that when you just look at them and they're talking about election, and it does seem like it's an already done deal. And God's the one who's done all the deciding. I will admit that there are passages that seem to say that. But there are other passages, and this is the thing, you can't throw out the ones that don't fit with it. You've got to recognize that, wait, there's a tension here. There's an unresolvable thing here to some degree because of our inability to comprehend some of these things. So instead, we have to hold certain truths in tension. So I don't reinterpret foreknowledge. Remember, we talked about this a few weeks back. I don't reinterpret foreknowledge to mean foreloved because I don't like the idea of God choosing based on what he knows about people. That's an example of what you shouldn't do. Another example is I don't insist that man's will in regard to salvation is non-existent when there are scriptures that say plainly that man's will is a factor. But on the other hand, I don't suggest that some of these truths are not without their difficulties and hard to understand and maybe not quite as clear as we'd like them to be. I will make that confession tonight. I mean, there are things, I wish these things were clearer. Some of them are difficult. So, remember this, a theological system that claims to solve every mystery is one that you should beware of. We're never going to solve all these mysteries. And there's a point where, you know, you just, sometimes you just have to back off and say, you know what, I'm not God. And so all of that to say, let's be careful. And let's be biblical. And let's do our best to stick with what the biblical text says. And quite often, some people won't like me saying this, but it is true. I've met plenty of people who know their theological system better than they know their Bible. And if you know your theological system better than you know your Bible, inevitably you're going to come up with a wrong perspective on something. You need to know your Bible. That's the place to start. Let the Bible speak first, and then work the theology into what the Bible says. Don't try to force the Bible into your preconceived theological perspective. So, if Paul is not teaching unconditional election here in regard to personal salvation, what is he saying? That's the question. What is he saying? Now, before I move on to answer that, let me go back and say one more thing about verse 16. Because again, this is such an important verse coming from that Calvinistic perspective. So, verse 16, let's say for argument's sake that everything I just said wasn't, it couldn't be said. Let's just say that. So here we are, we're faced with this verse here. Let's just say that the context isn't Israel, that the context really is personal salvation, just for argument's sake. So, it is not of him who wills nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. Even if the context is not what it is, Israel, not individual salvation, you still don't have to conclude that people don't have any personal say-so or need to exercise their will in regard to salvation. Because you can look at this verse as referring to salvation in the more general sense, the fact that there is an offer of salvation. Now, God offers salvation not because of anything in man. So the offer of salvation exists as a possibility simply because God chose to bring about that option. God didn't bring about the option because he said, oh, well, that person will believe, so therefore I'm obligated to offer. No, salvation originates with God entirely. You see, the problem with the Calvinists is they are so concerned to make sure all the glory and honor goes to God and nothing goes to man, I think they overstate the case. There's no question about it. Salvation is of God. And just because I have to contribute belief, that doesn't mean it's of me. Salvation only exists because God offers it. So it's not detracting from his glory in any way for us to have to believe in order to be saved. Salvation is his thing. It came about through his will. It was entirely uninfluenced by anything in man. So we can say completely, totally, and absolutely, salvation is of the Lord. I'm saved because God decided to save people, and he didn't have to do that. So even if this was, but it's not, even if it was talking about individual salvation, you still don't have to go to the extreme of saying that there is no involvement in the salvation process with man's will. Again, because we've already seen the scriptures tell us otherwise. So, now, going back to the text here. So what is Paul saying in these verses? If he's not talking about unconditional election in the sense of eternal salvation, what is he talking about? Well, he's still talking about unconditional election to privilege and to position in the purpose of God. That's what he's been talking about already. Remember, he talked about, we looked at it previously, he talked about Jacob and Esau. Before the children were ever born, or having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls, it was said to her, the older shall serve the younger. And remember how we pointed out that there's two types of election. There is election to eternal salvation, but that's not what he's talking about. And then there's this Abrahamic election, or there's this election to a position of privilege here in this life. And again, that's really the context here. But what Paul is doing here in verses 15 through 24 is he is declaring God's sovereignty. Now, God is sovereign. We don't have any argument against that. I would never stand here and say, no, God's not sovereign. But again, the Calvinistic perspective is if you believe that man has any part in his salvation, like you have to exercise your will, then you're taken away from the sovereignty of God. No, we're not. God is sovereign. It means he's the absolute ruler. He makes the rules. We don't make the rules. And what Paul is going to do in these verses that we read, and I'll walk you through them, what he's doing is he is declaring God's sovereignty. He's first of all illustrating it from history, looking at Pharaoh, and then he's arguing it from reason, and then he's arguing it from justice. And so let's look at each of those three things. So he's declaring God's sovereignty. He's illustrating it from history. So, for the scripture says to the Pharaoh, for this very purpose I raised you up, that I may show my power in you and that my name may be declared in all the earth. So here's Pharaoh. We know the story. We've read it in the book of Exodus. Pharaoh is oppressing Israel. He's refusing to let the people go. God has given him numerous opportunities to repent, to cooperate. He keeps hardening his heart. hardening his heart, hardening his heart. And God says, okay, I am going to demonstrate my wrath through you. Now, is there a problem with that? No. How could there be a problem? Pharaoh's opposing God. He's resisting God. And God is righteous. And so at a certain point, God says, okay, you want to be against me? Fine. I will then use you as an example of what happens to people who are against me. So is there anything unjust in that? Now, of course, the Jewish listener would say, no way, Pharaoh got what he deserved. But that's the reality. Pharaoh got what he deserved. God was under no obligation to show any mercy to Pharaoh. He's a wicked, oppressive ruler. He's resisting God. He's fighting God. He's given ample opportunity to turn from his rebellion to God. And then in the end, God says, all right, I am going to use you as an illustration of my judgment upon those who oppose me. So declaring God's sovereignty. God had every right to do that. Secondly, he argues God's sovereignty from reason. Now, you have to get what Paul's doing here. So he says in verse 19, he says, you will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his will? Remember what I said? Paul anticipates their responses. So how are they going to respond to what he says? They're going to respond this way. Oh, well, hey, it's all God's fault. You know, God's to blame. What? God's going to judge me? Come on. You know, he's the one. I'm this way because of him. That's the response that Paul is expecting from them. And so at this point, I believe that Paul gets kind of tough with them and just simply says, well, listen, if you want to really talk about the sovereignty of God, the reality is this, God can do anything he wants and you can't do anything about it. That's the reality. You know, we like to soften things a lot of times. We don't want to come off too, you know, making God look too harsh sometimes. And of course, that's true and right. But, you know, there sometimes is a point, and this is where Paul's reached with these guys here. There's a point where they need to know, look, you don't tell God what to do. He tells you what to do. He's the sovereign. Man, that's a hard pill for us postmodern people to swallow, isn't it? We don't want anybody telling us anything. I don't want anybody telling me what to do. I've never wanted anybody telling me what to do. Ask my wife when she tries to tell me what to do. I'm still that way. But I do want God to tell me what to do. But, you know, but that's just human nature, right? We don't want anybody telling us what to do. And especially in our day and age where we, you know, you listen to people today and they act like, well, you know, God owes me an apology for something or other, or one of these days, you know, I'm going to, if you know, and of course, a lot of people just say, well, there can't be a God because of this, that, or the other thing. And Paul, that's the attitude that Paul is dealing with. And essentially what he's saying, he says, but indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Paul's basically saying, how dare you challenge God? How dare you think that you've got something on God, or that you can call his righteousness or his justice into question. And boy, don't we see this so much today? Man, this is what people do, and they're aggressive, and they're so arrogant, and they're writing books, and they're going on TV and doing talk shows, and they're pontificating about, you know, if there was a God this, and man, I'd tell God that, and what folly. What utter folly. You think about it. It's like God said to the prophet Isaiah about man whose breath is in his nostrils. You know, just plug his nose for a few minutes and he's dead. So what, you know, all of this pontificating. I mean, so that's what Paul's dealing with here.
For the month of March, Back to Basics Radio is offering a CD titled Monuments that was produced by the Calvary Creative Worship Team. This CD is a collection of 12 classic hymns performed by 12 musical artists that portray monuments of God's faithfulness throughout the ages. We encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443. or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com to order the CD Monuments produced by the Calvary Creative Worship Team. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you the Monuments CD as our way to say thank you. We do appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue next time with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Romans. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.